verse. And to be quite honest with you, to save a little bit of time tonight, it has 11 verses in it. I'm going to just go ahead and read my text verse tonight. And then we'll be referring to other verses going back into the Scripture later on. But in this passage of Scripture, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. And I will exalt among the heathen. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth." So let's pray together again here. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much tonight that we can come and be with this congregation. Father, we've already felt your friendship. My spirit has already tonight been able to witness with others in this congregation. Father, we just brothers and sisters in Christ tonight, and we praise you and thank you. Father, we pray for White Plains Baptist Church. We ask, Lord, that you lead, guide, and direct the leadership of this church. And Father, I pray tonight for the pulpit committee. We lift them up and ask that you be with them. Lord, I know they have a difficult task ahead of them because we live in perilous times. And we realize, Lord, tonight, today, that finding a good pastor and a good preacher and a good minister is very, very difficult. So we pray for them tonight. Lift them up. We pray for these prayer requests again that's been mentioned. We ask tonight you give us a good time, and the Lord Jesus Christ speak to our hearts tonight and encourage us and help us above all things tonight. Help us to be still and listen to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight when we look at this psalm right here, to be able to put it in context, and I always like to do that. I try not just to take one verse and preach from it and never mention anything about what's going on. But if we could go back tonight and really put this psalm into context for us, we could see that King Hezekiah, and we could see that the city of Jerusalem looked out across the plains there, and they could see the smoke, they could see the dust, and they knew that the Assyrian army was coming after them. The Assyrian army had come from the north, and as they began their trek down towards Jerusalem, because they came or was coming to destroy the nation Israel. They was coming to destroy Jerusalem. And as King Hezekiah and those soldiers and people there in the city of Jerusalem looked out, they could see this great massed army coming. And they began to march towards Jerusalem. And before that army, there was green grass and there was golden fields of grain. But after that army had sieged a city or a village, leaving behind nothing but a blackish or burnt fields and nothing but corpse everywhere. This army was destructive. This army was mighty. And it was coming towards Jerusalem. It was coming to destroy her. So when we look at this, we realize that Jerusalem, of course, King Hezekiah wanted to do something. So what he did was, he went to the king of Syria and he tried to compromise. And folks, you know in the world today that God's people doesn't need to compromise. Amen? We don't ever need to compromise anything with this world. But King Hezekiah was wanting to buy off that siege of what was coming, the destruction that was coming. So he went to that king and he offered him a great amount of money, a great amount of material things to hold off that siege. But the king of Assyria, he rejected that offer. He was coming on to destroy. He was coming to destroy God's people. So King Hezekiah went back and on that particular night after trying to make that compromise and that rejection took place, King Hezekiah and Israel went to sleep that night, dreading what Mar would bring, dreading what was going to come, because he knew that when the morning came, that siege was going to come upon Jerusalem. And he knew that tomorrow was going to be a day of dread. It was going to be a day of death. It was going to be a day of destruction. And he hated to see the sunlight come. So they went to bed with that on their mind. You know they didn't sleep. They just waited and waited until the sunlight came. And when the sunlight came that morning, when morning began to awake, they went to the wall of Jerusalem. Now listen. And they looked out across there. And they saw where they had pitched all of their tents, waiting to come and to destroy Jerusalem. And they saw no movement whatsoever. No movement whatsoever. So finally they sent out some spies out of the back down the back wall and around to where the Assyrian army was. And when they began to investigate, they found that the Assyrians were dead in their tents. You see, this is the way that God works. It only took one angel. It only took that night, just one night, one angel and one night to take care of God's enemies, to take care of the Assyrian army, an army that was so great in multitude, an army that was so great in number, and now there they were dead in their tents outside the city of Jerusalem. You see, folks, that's important for us tonight to understand, because that's the way God works. That's the way that God works even today. Not necessarily in that particular manner, but God is still God, and God is still on the throne tonight. And you and I, as we sit in this church tonight and we face all the problems that you and I face, we need to understand that. We're not facing the Assyrian army tonight, but we do have our problems. We do have our difficulties. We do have those things tonight that we are struggling with and that we have problems with. You see, when we look at this tonight, we see that God is on the throne. We see that God is still in control. And you and I tonight need to understand this. When we look at this psalm, I want us to see three things. When we look at this total psalm, we see in verses 1 through 3, we see that there is the refuge. 1 through 3, verse 7 and verse 11. You find the word refuge. You see, God is a refuge. God has always been a refuge. He was a refuge in the Old Testament. He is a refuge in the New Testament. And He is a refuge tonight for me and you. Because He wants us to trust Him tonight to the point that we can come and that we can be and dwell in His hand in the cleft of the rock. So He says, first of all, in this psalm that He is a refuge. And then He tells us also in this psalm that He is a river. He's pictured as a river. In verses 4 through 6 in this passage of Scripture, we see that God is pictured as a river. He is an ever-flowing river. He is an ever-flowing river, and that river is full of God's love. That river is full of God's grace. That river is full of mercy. And that river flows. It's not a creek. It's not something that can be dammed up. It's not something that can be stopped. But as long as this world tonight is in existence, you and I must understand that that river is still flowing. And God's love is still flowing. And God's grace is still flowing. And God's mercy is still flowing. In a world that's so hard to find it. In a world so hard to be able to experience it. That river's still flowing tonight. And you and I as Christians, you and I as we live and as we walk on the face of this earth, we need to hold on to that. In the difficult times when the Assyrian army is ready to attack us, or the devil or Satan is ready to work in our lives, we need to understand tonight that that river is still flowing tonight. If you will just let it flow in your own heart and in your own life. You see, not only do we see that He's a refuge, not only do we see that He is a river, but in verses 8 through 11, listen, He is the ruler. He is the king. This world don't believe that tonight, amen? But I want to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ is still king. God is still the ruler of this universe. God is still the maker, the creator. He is still on His throne tonight, and King Jesus is still on His throne tonight. So we see that He is a ruler. We see beyond a shadow of a doubt when He says, I will be exalted. I will be exalted among the heathen. You see, this old world thinks they have us right where they want us. They ignore the church. They ignore Christ. They ignore His teachings. They ignore all the spiritual things in this world that He wants us to experience and He wants us to have for ourselves. This earth tonight, unfortunately, is filled with heathens. But the Bible says in this psalm here, and King Hezekiah and those who wrote this psalm understand that better than we do, because they understood what God had done for them. And what you and I need to understand is what God has done for us. God has done something special today in your life. Just as He killed those Assyrians in those tents and took away that threat with Jerusalem, my friend, in our life tonight, He is working and He is planning and He is ready to work, just as He did in this psalm. So we see tonight that He is a ruler. He is to be exalted among the heathen. And one day He'll be exalted in all the earth. That's what this psalm says. He'll be exalted in all of this earth. My friends, tonight, one day, and I believe as a pastor and a minister who has preached 40 years the gospel of Jesus Christ, I believe we're not too far from it. Amen. I believe one of these days, very soon, God is going to tell His Son to step out on that cloud and to go and to get His children. How much more sin, how much more killing, how much more grief and hurt that we have in this world before God's grace finally comes to an end. And He says, go get your children. Bring your church home. And He's the ruler tonight. So in verse 10, the psalmist says to us, he says for us to be still. Boy, that's a real task for me, and that's a real task for you. He says in verse 10a, he says to be still. The command to be still is a rebuke to the way that we live our lives. When the psalmist said in this passage, experiencing all that he had experienced, seeing all that he had seen as far as the Assyrian army and where Jerusalem was and what God had done, the thing he said at the end of this psalm was to be still. And when you read that, that is a command, but it is a rebuke on the way that people live their life even today. You see, we live today in a restless, restless world. I'm amazed when we're out late at night and we're coming in. Maybe many times as we have come home from a ball game or something, how many people are still up and down this road? This road in front of this church right here is a heavily traveled road. Not only in the daytime, but even at night, there's traffic up and down. We live in a restless world. It's like nobody sleeps anymore. Nobody really is able to rest. Nobody is able to find the peace in their hearts and in their life. So they're restless and they're always going. They're always looking for something. They're always moving. You see, we live in dangerous times. We live in fearful times. And we see that the psalmist is telling us, encouraging us to be still. To be still. When we look at this, we can't be still long enough to allow our minds and our heart to be spoken to by the Holy Spirit. God is encouraging you tonight, church. God is encouraging you tonight as a Christian. Whatever you do, be still. Be still and listen. Let your mind wind down. Let your mind become saturated with the spiritual things that God wants you and desires for you to know. Have time for solitude. When we think about the life of Jesus Christ, let me just remind you, if you ever want someone to follow, if you ever want to look at a life and see how you should live, you know whose life you should follow? You should follow Jesus Christ. You should follow Him. Because He is the one that has set the example. In several of our churches, I've taught the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. And when you get over there in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and it starts talking about the way that we ought to live, the way that we ought to conduct our life, I tell people all the time, I said, you know what Jesus showed us? He told us how to live. And then He showed us how to live. He practiced what He preached. And that's important, folks. We need to know how to do it. Jesus showed us how to do it. He told us to love our enemies. That's something that you and I can't comprehend. That's something that we have a difficult time with. But then what did Jesus do? He not only teach that or preach that to us in the Sermon on the Mount, but then he turned around, and what did he do? He practiced. He actually loved those who nailed him to the cross. So he shows you how to do it. He teaches us how to do it. So he wants us to be still. He wants us that when he was in solitude, he wanted to pray to his Heavenly Father. He went alone. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says that when he was ready to call his disciples, what did he do? He went up into a mountain alone. And he had that time of solitude where God could speak to him. Folks, we'll never be still. We'll never wait on God. We'll never experience God the way that He wants us to experience it until we come to the point and place of getting alone with Him and having solitude and being able to hear what He says. Most of the time that we're in some kind of communication with God, we're the ones that's doing the talking. Amen? And that's what prayer's for. We need to talk to God. Amen? But there's a time that you need to listen. There's a time you need to open this book right here and you need to ask God to show you a passage of Scripture. And you read that, study that passage, and while you're doing it, let God speak to your heart. In that moment of solitude, He will lead, guide, and direct your life as you've never had it directed before. God will do that for you. So today, we can't be still. We are a restless world. We are always moving. We always have something to do. I'm amazed today. You know, when the cell phone came out, everybody was excited about that. Me and Sandy, we bought us a bag phone. Y'all know what a bag phone is? Had one, that's right. Put that thing in the car, and at least when you was off somewhere, you could be called, you know, or you could call someone if you had to. But then we advanced a little bit more. Then we just had a regular flip phone. And then we began to see the real problem work, didn't we? There's not a place, listen to me, if you've got a cell phone tonight, there's not a place in this world, hardly, that you can, if you've got it on, that they can't call you. You never have any time to be still. You never have any time to be quiet. You go to supper, somebody calls you. You go to shopping, somebody calls you. Somebody's always dialing that number. Somebody's always ringing that phone. It's almost impossible today to be still. But God wants you to be still, church. God, Christian, listen to me. He wants you to be still. He wants you to be alone with Him long enough that He can speak to you because He loves you. He has something He wants to tell you. He has a direction that He wants your life to go in. He has planned it. He has purposed it. And He wants to speak it to you. But as long as you're so busy in this world, so long as you're all tied up with the material and temporal things of this world, it's hard for Him to speak and to work in your life. Be still. That's what we want to do. We want to learn to be still. But in this psalm, not only do we want to be still, but we want to be smart. We want to be smart. I don't know about you, but when I was in school, this lady here, she was a classmate of mine. I didn't care much about school. I was more interested in sports, and I was more interested in Sandy. I had an old 53 Chevrolet, and when I got through with my last class, I'd take them books and sling it in the back seat, and that's where they'd stay until the next morning. Now, that's not the right thing to do, but that's what I did. But you see, folks, we need to be smart. And while I wasn't very smart in school, I've tried to listen to my Lord. I've tried to be still. And I've tried to be, in a certain way, to be smart. Notice in this verse 10 of this passage here, it says, "Know that I am God." Man, I tell you, that is absolutely powerful. Do you realize tonight as a Christian, when you get a hold of that, what you have really got a hold of? When you really understand, and I know that we do intellectually, I know that we know that God is God. But in this psalm, he says no. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he says no. That I am God. We must know that God is there. Satan, listen to me. Satan would have us to be absolutely ignorant of God. If he had his way tonight, and he does in so many people. Folks, listen to me. If we go out today and we start talking about Scripture, we go out today and start sharing in this world, people will not understand what you're talking about if you get into this Bible, if you get into God's Word. Why? Because people doesn't study. They do not learn about God. They just think that He's out there somewhere in the universe, and if they believe in Him, one day they realize that maybe they may have to stand before Him, but they have no real concept of Him. They have no concept of His presence. They have no concept of His power. They have no concept of His person. Boy, that's what really gets interesting. When you know His presence, know that I am God. Know that God is here. God came to this church tonight. God will go home with you tonight if you will permit that. God will be with you tomorrow when you're walking down that street, when you go to that store, when you do whatever you have to do tomorrow. God will be there with you. God's presence is with you. Know that I am God, that God is here. He says also, and I want you to know my person. Boy, that's when it really gets excited. Do you hear many sermons today on holiness? You know our God is holy. Our God is holy. He says over in 1 Peter or 2 Peter, He says, I am holy and therefore I want you to be holy. And that means every single area of your life. God wants you to be holy. He wants you to be pure. Because God is pure. God is sinless. God is righteousness. And you have to know His person. God doesn't want us to drag Him into all of the filth of this world, into the sins of our life, and try some way, somehow to pretend that we're living for God, that we know God. God wants us to know His person and what His person is. He's Savior. He's Lord. He is everything. He is present, and His person is with us. Listen to what the Scripture says. God wants us to know Him. In this passage of Scripture, it says, know, in Job chapter 19, verse 25, this is what Job said. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. And He will be there at the end of this earth. Listen to what 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 21 says. Paul said, I know whom I have believed in. Folks, I know tonight you being a Wednesday night crowd, I know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt who you believe in. You should. Amen? But God wants us to know who we believe in. There's nothing in this world tonight, I believe. And I know Satan tries to defeat us. I know that he tries to discourage us. I know he wants us to be ignorant of his word. But it's my own personal life tonight. I know whom I believe in. And I'm not buying into what Satan is sailing. I'm not buying into what this world is trying to cram down our throat tonight. I'm not buying into it because I know who I believe in. I'm just like Paul. I know whom I believe in. Do you know tonight, beyond a shadow of a doubt, who you believe in? 1 John 3:13, John said, we can know that we have pass from death into life. Over the last few weeks in our family and our own personal lives, we've had a lot of people that have left this earth. You've probably had the same thing. But my friends, listen to me. You know what happened? In 1967 at Woodside Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, in a Sunday night service, God spoke to my heart. And as I've said many times, I didn't get up and I didn't walk across pews and I didn't swing off chandeliers, but I just got up quietly from the back and walked to the front and took Carl Fisk's hand and said, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And when I asked Jesus into my heart that night, and when you ask Jesus in your salvation experience, you pass from death into life. Yes, you'll have to die physically. One day you will leave the face of this earth unless Jesus Christ comes back and takes this church out. But my friends, listen to me. I want you to know tonight beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have passed. I have passed from death into life. And I've got reservations in heaven tonight. And if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ and you've been born by the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in His blood, then you've got a place in heaven tonight. And you have passed from death into life. John said this in chapter 5, verse 13. He said, these things have I written that you might know that you have eternal life. These things I have written that you might know that you have eternal life. God wants you to be smart. What are those things? Have you ever read that passage of Scripture and asked yourself, what in the world is that? What are these things? Let me help you with that tonight. Go back to 1 John chapter 5. Go back to 1 John chapter 1, excuse me. And you begin to read that book very carefully. And it will tell you everything that you need to be and everything that you need to know to be smart to know that you have eternal life. God will confirm it in your heart. Listen, it doesn't matter when Jesus comes back, as far as I'm concerned. I want Him to come back today. Amen? Amen. I'm ready. I hope your loved ones, I hope you're ready. But you know what? I believe with all my heart that as I read that book, it confirms to me that I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been born again. And it should be the same way with you. Jesus wants you to be smart. So He wants you to be still. He wants you to be smart. And then He wants you to be submissive. Boy, this is where it really gets difficult. Oh, Pastor, I want to be still. Yes, I want to have some time alone with Him. I want to be in solitude with Him. Yes, I want to be smart. I want to know what the Scripture says. I want to know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. What He's saying to me. He says in this verse, He says, know that I am God. Folks, listen to me tonight. So many times we try to play God in our own life. How submissive are you tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt again that this is Wednesday night. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But listen to me tonight. It is so important as God's children that we learn to be submissive. We need to be still. We need to be smart. We need to be submissive. And when we learn to be those three things, when we learn especially to be submissive, when we say to God, God, I'm your child. I've lived my life pretty much the way that I have chose to live it. If this is a normal Southern Baptist crowd, and I believe that you are, there's some probably things in your life you wish you could go back and change. Amen? There's some things that you wished you hadn't have done or things that you wished you had done. All of us is that way. Every single one of us. But what we've got is what we've got now. What God has given us right now. And the thing that He wants more than anything in the world from me and from you is to be submissive. He wants us tonight to know that He is God. He wants us to quit taking our own life into our own hands and running in the direction that we want to. He wants us to be patient. He wants us to wait on Him. He wants us to be able to have knowledge of His presence, of His person. He wants us to be submissive to His will for our life. As His children, we must learn to submit to His authority. To become obedient. Boy, that's another tough word. You know what the problem is? We really don't want nobody to tell us what to do. Amen? Oh, y'all not going to amen that? Y'all need to. Because most of our life's that way, folks. We don't like people dictating to us. And it's that way with God. God tells us what we ought to do, how we ought to live. And you know what? We won't submit to it. We won't be obedient to what God wants us to do. And God's not losing out, but we're losing out. Because God wants your life to be full and abundant. He wants you to live for Him and to be successful in your Christian life. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have His presence. He wants you to be able to have praise because He has the plan and He has the power. So tonight, I just want to challenge you to be still. Be still, be smart, and be submissive. Who tonight, who in the world tonight would be willing to really honestly sit down and allow God to speak to your heart? Before you lay your head on the pillow tonight, spend some alone time with Him and ask God to speak to Him. Ask God to speak to your heart. And then whatever God tells you, then you be submissive and you follow Him. Jesus Christ loves you tonight. He loves you beyond any measure. He went to the cross of Calvary, shed His blood. And that love has been proven over and over again. I know my wife loves me tonight. I know that she has stood by me time and time again. But the greatest love that I have ever experienced in my life is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be still. Be smart. And be submissive. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. We thank You tonight, Lord, for this psalm. Lord, we realize tonight as we read this and study it, we understand that Jerusalem was under siege. But Lord, just as You did so many times, even down in Egypt, You sent an angel, and it only took one night to take care of what needed to be taken care of. In our lives tonight, Lord Jesus, my prayer is that each and every one of us would seek You. That there would be a time of solitude in our life. That there would be a time of seeking You. There would be a time of experiencing You. That You would know, that we would know Your presence, that we would understand and know Your person. Lord, help us tonight to be still. In this old restless world that demands so much, in this old world that has our platter full from morning to night, in this old world that robs us and cheats us every single day of the blessings and the presence of God in our life, help us to be able to do it. Help us to commit ourselves tonight to be still, to be smart, and to be submissive. Father, I thank You tonight for White Plains Baptist Church. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege tonight of coming and filling this pulpit. And God, I thank You for these people, so friendly. Lord, I pray You'd bless them. I pray tonight as they go home that You would put Your hand upon them, that You would bless them in such a wonderful and marvelous way. And Father, as we come back Sunday morning, I pray that we'd come expectant. I pray that we'd come believing with all of our heart that You're going to be here, that You're going to do something in a very special way. Help us to be faithful in our witness. Help us to be faithful in our attendance. Help us to be faithful in our stewardship. Bless this church, lead, guide, and direct them to the person that You have for this pulpit. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for Mike and Iris. Be with them tonight. Give them safety. Bring them back to this church. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd continue to use them for your honor and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.